Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on the 6th day of March, 2021. Almost a quarter of the year has gone by already. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are listening to the recording of today's service, and glad to have you all in fellowship with us. Our opening song is titled Ancient Words. Praise God for His Scriptures. Scripture words long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let these ancient words impart. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart.
Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, Bible words will guide us home. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let these ancient words impart.
Holy words of our faith, handed down to this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Scripture words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let this ancient word seem far.
Amen. And may God's words indeed be allowed to enter your heart and to change your life, and indeed bring glory to God through sacrifice. Please join with me in prayer. Father, we thank you so very much for continuing to be in our midst and to take control of this meeting. Dear Savior, we thank you also for being here, and we ask thee for the bright beams of your light and truth to dispel darkness in our hearts. Dear Spirit, we thank you also for being here in our midst, and we pray that you will reprove and correct us of our wrongs, our incorrect ideas or understanding. And allow the truth as it is in Jesus to be recognized, received, and to indeed bring about a change and a reformation in our lives. There is indeed divine power in the Word of God. May we allow this Word to be the guide of our lives and thus God's divine power to bring about the change. Please be with those that have heard the truth and are deciding whether to follow it or not. Give them the extra grace and strength and courage, not just to see the truth, but to follow it regardless of the consequences. Be with those who have not yet heard the truth, and please arrange the circumstances that they may be able to come into contact with the message of salvation, the present truth as it is in Jesus at the proper time. And prevent the devil from doing anything in any way to snatch away the precious seed of truth and to leave them in darkness. Be with those who once followed the truth but have given it up, and I pray that you will awaken them to their mistake before it is too late and bring them back on the straight, narrow, upward path soon. And again, thank you for allowing us the freedom to gather together and to dig into your word of life from different parts of this world. Thank you for this technology, and we pray that the connection will be strong, that there will be no lag or very minimal lag, that there will be nothing to distract the attention away from the message that will be shared. Thank you for being greater than the devil and for keeping him at bay. And thank you also for allowing us to have life for just such a time as this. For you see that if we are submissive to thee, that you can use us in a great way, greater now than it ever before in history, to be able to represent Jesus and to let the light of truth shine forth to reach precious souls all around this world. Help us to be faithful and indeed to let our light shine. So again, we thank you for being here and for hearing and answering this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is part 3 in our series, How to Observe God's Chosen Sabbath Day. And this is actually our final part, just a short series. And those that haven't yet listened to part 1 or part 2, I would encourage you to do so. So how to observe God's chosen Sabbath day. And the last Sabbath we learned that God required all forms of work to cease on the hours of the Sabbath. And this was work that was our regular employment in our occupation or line of business or industry. And it was also work in any type of non-employment areas, such as dealing with the home inside and outside, or the property, or our farm or field or orchard or vineyard, our garden even, or just serving self. So all forms of work, whether it's a regular employment or just in non-employment areas, was to cease on the hours of the Sabbath. And we then discovered that after sin had come in, God expanded the regulations to safeguard the Sabbath. And these regulations included anyone who would be living under the jurisdiction of an individual. These other individuals were to keep the Sabbath holy along with that individual. So this meant that the spouse, children, parents, relatives, hired workers, servants, possessions, employees, cattle, and even strangers who were living with an individual or on the property of the individual were also to avoid any and all forms of working on the hours of the Sabbath. We also learned that if you were a co-owner of a business or in a partnership or in any other business enterprise in which your fellow owners or partners or associates work on the Sabbath in that enterprise, that you would also be guilty of breaking the Sabbath along with them because you were part owner of that business. Also, if you own stock in a business or company that did business on the Sabbath, then you, as part owner of that business, would also be guilty of breaking the Sabbath along with them. But we then discovered that if your line of work was dealing with the health or healing of others, or ministering to their spiritual needs, then there would be nothing wrong with working on the Sabbath. But if you were getting paid for this medical ministerial work, then every penny of the money you made on the Sabbath should be donated to God's cause so that you would avoid any type of financial gain made by helping others on God's sacred Sabbath. So these were some of the additional requirements that God established to help his people safeguard the Sabbath after sin had come in and affected mankind. But are there any other requirements God has established? And exactly how do we keep the Sabbath holy? And this is what we'll be investigating into today. And those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at alightministries.com/ID345.htm. If you look at quote number one, God tells us in Exodus 20 verses 8 and 11, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now the Hebrew word for holy or hallowed is kadosh. And this word translates and means to be or observe as clean, including morally. To consecrate, dedicate, hallow, be or keep holy, proclaim, purify, sanctified holy. So that's what the word holy means. Now, if you notice, this word holy means to be clean as well as to observe the Sabbath as clean. And it also meant to be holy as well as to keep holy. So this reveals that an individual themselves must already be clean and holy so that they will be able to observe God's consecrated, dedicated, and sanctified Sabbath. Otherwise, if you wait until after the Sabbath begins before you become cleansed and purified, then there would be no way to keep all of the Sabbath day holy, and thus you would be Sabbath breakers. God tells us in Deuteronomy 5:12, keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee. So we're to already be clean and holy before the Sabbath occurs, not become clean and holy after the Sabbath has occurred. So since this cleansing and purification must take place before the Sabbath begins, then we can see that the preparation day, or Friday, involves these additional cleansing requirements so that we may be able to keep the Sabbath holy and sanctified. So we've seen that the Hebrew word for holy meant to be clean in person, to be clean morally, and also to be sanctified. So this reveals that in order to keep the Sabbath holy, we are to be clean physically, morally, and spiritually. So this reveals that we are to be clean not just in one or two of these areas, but in all three areas in order to keep the Sabbath holy. So then the question is, what is involved in being clean in all three of these areas? What does it mean to be clean physically? If you look at quote number two. To be clean physically involves washing our bodies from all dirt and filth. So then, any baths or showers that are taken must be taken before the Sabbath occurs, so that we may be clean physically when the Sabbath begins in the evening. Also, it would make no sense to be clean physically, but then to put on dirty clothes, as these dirty clothes would just make us physically dirty once again. And thus we would not be clean on the Sabbath. So then in addition to being clean in body, we also need to make sure that whatever clothes we're going to wear on the Sabbath, that these are already washed and cleansed before the Sabbath begins. God tells us in Leviticus 17, verses 15 and 16, "And every soul that eateth that which dieth of itself, or that which was torn with beasts," in other words, becoming unclean by doing so, "whether it be one of your own country or a stranger, he shall both wash his clothes and bathe himself in water, and be unclean until the even. Then shall he be clean. But if he wash them not, nor bathe his flesh, then he shall bear his iniquity." In other words, remain unclean. So these verses reveal that it was not just bodily washing that was needed to become cleansed, but also the washing of the clothes that were to be worn. So then in order to keep the Sabbath holy, we must already be clean physically as well as in the clothes we wear. Now, what does it mean to be clean morally? If you look at quote number three. Morality deals with right and wrong, and thus deals with our actions and our character. And it will be impossible to keep the Sabbath holy if we are doing that which is morally wrong and thus committing sin. So then the question is, what is sin? We're told in 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." This passage reveals to us that God's law is the standard that determines what is right versus what is wrong. So then this means that in order to keep the Sabbath holy, we must not be living in any sin. In other words, we must not be breaking God's law. So we're not to be having any other gods before the Lord God. We're not to make, bow down to, or worship any idols. We're not to swear or take God's name in vain. We're not to break his Sabbath day. We're not to disobey or dishonor our parents. We're not to kill anyone. We're not to commit adultery. We're not to steal. We're not to lie. And we're not to covet. So this shows that in order to keep the Sabbath holy, any of these sins must be stopped, confessed, repented of, and forgiven by those we sinned against, as well as by God. And then we need to become cleansed by Christ's blood, his merits and righteousness, all before the Sabbath occurs. Otherwise, we will not be morally clean and thus cannot keep the Sabbath holy. But if we follow this process to become morally cleansed, then we will indeed be blessed by God in keeping his Sabbath holy. In Isaiah 56, verses 1 and 2, God tells us, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold upon it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil." So if we become morally cleansed before the Sabbath comes in, God says that he will bless us. Now, what does it mean to be clean spiritually? If you look at quote number 4, spirituality deals with our innermost thoughts and desires. So this means that before the Sabbath occurs, our thoughts and feelings must be turned away from the cares of this life, must be turned away from the world, and instead focused upon heavenly themes. In Philippians 2:5, God tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So we must have the mind of Christ before we enter into the Sabbath. We're also told in Romans 8, verses 1, 5 through 9. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So then to be clean spiritually means that we must not be dwelling in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That we must not have our own mind, but the mind of Christ. Now, Satan knows this fact of truth very well, and the devil doesn't want any of us to be spiritually minded when the Sabbath comes in. And one of his favorite things to do is to cause our fleshly feelings to become hurt and our emotional passions to become aroused just before the Sabbath occurs. And if he can do that, then our thoughts will be diverted away from Christ and heavenly themes and will now be focused upon ourselves, upon how we feel, or upon what someone else did to us or said about us. And in this way, our thoughts will not be on spiritual things, but on to fleshly themes. And thus, we will not be spiritually minded. We will not have the mind of Christ. And we will not be spiritually clean before the Sabbath comes in. And thus, we cannot keep the Sabbath holy. So then let us be aware of what the devil wants to do. Let us be alert for these tactics of the devil to come in, especially just before the Sabbath. And then avoid allowing our thoughts to be diverted away from Christ and the need of keeping his Sabbath day holy. Let us instead have the mind of Christ to be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. We're told in Ephesians 4, verses 17 to 24. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now this is to be our situation all week long, but especially before the Sabbath comes in. So we have seen that we are to be clean physically, morally, and spiritually before the Sabbath occurs. All three areas. So even if you may be spotless physically and morally, yet if your mind is dwelling on fleshly or worldly themes, then you are not keeping the Sabbath holy, but are breaking it. And wearing clean clothes, but having an unwashed heart, will also break the Sabbath. So we must be clean in all three areas in order to keep the Sabbath holy and sanctified, or God will not accept our worship. But if we are indeed clean in all three areas, then God will accept our worship, and he will bless us. You look at quote number 5. God states in Isaiah 1, verse 13, verses 16 to 17, and 19 to 20. Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination unto me. The new moons and Sabbaths, the calling of assemblies, I cannot away with. It is iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Wash you, make you clean. There's physical cleansing. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. There's morally clean. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. There's spiritually clean. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken. Now there's another important, very important area I need to share with you. If you look at quote number 6. Whose day is the seventh day Sabbath? we've learned that it's God's day. It's the one day out of the seven that he's chosen to be his. The other 6 days of the week are our days, but the seventh day is God's day. So this means that we must keep this day as God's day in his way. It's his day, it's his way. It's not our day, our way. So the Sabbath is God's day, and we're to keep it his way. It's not our day to keep it our way. We're told in Isaiah 58, verses 13 and 14, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now these verses reveal to us that God's chosen Sabbath day of worship is not to be spent honoring ourselves by doing our own ways or finding our own pleasure or speaking our own words. But the Sabbath is to be spent honoring God by doing his ways, finding his pleasure, and speaking his words. So then what would be included in doing our own ways? What are we to avoid on the Sabbath? If you look at quote number 7. Doing our own ways would be like gardening, planting, caretaking in or around the house or property, or doing our hobbies. Doing our own ways would also involve playing various worldly games, whether board games or video games or computer games, or outside games. It would also, doing our own ways, would also be watching worldly television programs or videos, listening to worldly music, reading worldly materials, etc. Doing our own ways would also be getting married or celebrating birthdays or anniversaries or other worldly days. All of these ways are to be avoided on the Sabbath. It is God's day, not our day. So that would be some of the things included in doing our own ways. Now, what would be some of the things included in finding our own pleasure? Well, this would include any worldly thing that we are passionate about. Some are very passionate about eating. So this means that whatever we eat or drink on the Sabbath should be only those foods and drinks that God can approve of. And we are to avoid all other food and drink, even though we may really like how it tastes. We're also to avoid overeating of even the foods that God approves of. And those that have studied the relation of diet to the body and the mind, they will recognize that if you partake of food and drink that clouds your brain, or even in eating too much, that will cloud your brain, then how will you be able to truly honor God and enjoy his fellowship on the Sabbath? You will have a cloudy brain, dull. But also included in finding our own pleasure on the Sabbath would be any indulgence in sexual pleasure. And this is because sexual pleasure depletes the energy of the body and the mind like no other indulgence can do. And so with depleted energy of body and mind, how will you be able to truly honor God and enjoy His fellowship with your body and your mind tired and depleted? So all of these kinds of finding your own pleasure are to be avoided on the Sabbath. Again, it is God's day. It's not yours. Now, what would be included in speaking your own words? This would include gossiping, talking on worldly or political subjects, speaking words that will gender strife or dissension or division, speaking words that come from being envious or jealous or hateful, revengeful, speaking words that will hurt feelings or be complaining about something or grumbling about something. All of these kinds of words are to be avoided on the Sabbath because they're fleshly words, not God's words. So all of these self-pleasing areas are to be given up before the Sabbath occurs, so that the entire Sabbath day can be solely devoted to God. I mean, isn't that the whole reason why we get ourselves physically, morally, and spiritually clean and everything else prepared before the Sabbath arrives? So that we can meet with our God, we can worship Him, we can enjoy His presence and His word, and rest in His love. Why else do we keep the Sabbath holy? Why else do we avoid not doing our own ways or finding our own pleasure or speaking our own words on the Sabbath? It's so that God can be glorified, uplifted, exalted, and that we can be with Him. Now, if you look at quote number 8, since all these things are true, and that even sexual pleasure is to be given up before the Sabbath occurs, then when should God's followers really get prepared for the Sabbath? Is it only just on Friday? In Exodus 19, verses 10 through 11 and 14 through 15. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day. For the third day, the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. Now these verses reveal that in order to be fully prepared to meet with the great and marvelous God and to worship Him, the Israelites not only needed to wash themselves and their clothes, but husbands could not come at their wives, nor wives at their husbands. In other words, 2 days before they were to meet with God, all sexual relations were to be avoided. And what was the reason why? We've already learned that partaking in sexual pleasure uses up a lot of vital energy. And until this vital energy is replaced through rest and sleep, the body and mind will be adversely affected, not able to comprehend as much as they could if they didn't partake in that depleting energy area. So then by avoiding sexual pleasure 2 days before meeting with God would mean that their body and mind would be rested and thus better prepared to be in God's presence, to understand his truths, and to receive his blessings. And dear ones, the same would hold true for us today before we meet with God on his Sabbath day. Now, if you look at quote number 9, what consequences are there if we choose not to follow these additional requirements of God and we end up not keeping the Sabbath holy, but breaking it and committing sin? In Numbers 15, verses 32 through 36. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, this is about a year after the law was given to them at Mount Sinai. So it was a whole year of them complying with the Lord's requirements. They found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sticks brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. And they put him in ward because it was not declared what should be done to him. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And the congregation brought him without the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. We're told in Exodus 31, verses 13 through 17. Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And then in Exodus 35, verse 2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. Now, all of these verses reveal to us that the consequences of knowingly breaking and defiling the holiness of God's chosen Sabbath day was to be put to death. But that was not the only punishment. We read in Exodus 31 that the soul that defileth the Sabbath shall be cut off from among his people. The Hebrew word for cut off is karoth. And this word means to destroy or consume. That's Strong's word number 3772. Now, stoning would only cause physical death, but would not destroy or consume the person. Only the second death in the lake of fire could destroy and consume the person, and they would lose eternal life. You can find that in Revelation 2 verse 11, Revelation 20 verse 6, and 14 through 15. So the God-given punishment for knowingly breaking his Sabbath day was not only the loss of physical life, but was also the loss of eternal life. Something very serious. Now, throughout this short series, we've seen how God would have his people keep his chosen seventh-day Sabbath holy. And we've also seen the additional God-given requirements to help us prepare for and safeguard the sacredness of the Sabbath. And praise God that there's still time to confess and repent for any of our sins in breaking his holy Sabbath day. Praise God that there's still time to overcome and reform our lives and practices and come into harmony with all of God's revealed will. And praise God that if we follow his will, then we can be properly prepared in body, in mind, in home, and property for each new Sabbath. And then after welcoming in God's Sabbath day, we will be ready to partake fully and receive all of the light and the joy and the blessings that God bestows upon us while we are in fellowship and communion with God, with the heavenly angels, with the church of the firstborn, and with one another. So indeed, dear ones, let us remember to keep the Sabbath holy. If you look at quote number 10, in Revelation 21, verses 7 through 8, and 22, verses 14 through 15, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. In other words, it is possible to be clean physically, morally, and spiritually in keeping God's Sabbath day holy, to overcome everything that defiles it. It's possible. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And then in Isaiah 66, verses 22 and 3. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one Sabbath to another shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. So God's seventh-day Sabbath is not going to pass away with this world. It's going to continue on for eternity. Even on the new earth, we will come and worship God and keep his seventh-day Sabbath holy. Let us begin now in keeping God's Sabbath day holy. Getting prepared, avoiding things that are going to detract from being able to receive the blessings or understand the truth that God has for us on the Sabbath. That way, we will truly be doing God's ways, seeking His pleasure, speaking His words, and not our own. This is my prayer. Our closing song is Don't Forget the Sabbath. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God hath blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship Him today, who said to His disciples, I am the living way. And if we meekly follow our Savior here below, He'll give us up the fountain whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure is gone, and hours will spend. And thankful hymns to Jesus, the children's dearest friend. O gentle, loving Savior, O good and kind Thou art, how precious is Thy promise to dwell in every heart. Oh, excuse me. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Amen, and praise God for revealing the truth to us through His word of inspiration on how we can indeed not forget to keep the Sabbath holy, but to keep it holy and sanctified. And praise God for His Spirit that will lead and guide us into a correct understanding of this very important subject and lead us into all truth. Thank You, Father, for this great help, not just having Your word written out in plain language, but having Your Spirit to help us understand it. And having our Savior live it. It's now time for closing prayer, and please join with me. Father, we thank You so very much for not leaving us in darkness or ignorance, but for giving us Your word, giving us Your instructions, Your counsel, Your wisdom, as well as Your warnings. Thank You for sending Jesus to show us that it is possible to follow every word of God and become perfect, to please You in all things, especially on Your Sabbath. Please forgive us for not keeping the Sabbath day holy as you want us to do so. Forgive us for not being prepared properly to enter into the Sabbath. Forgive us for allowing our thoughts to dwell on worldly subjects or on other fleshly themes and thus break the sacredness of your day. Help us to keep your chosen Sabbath day the way that you want us to. Not because we're forced, but because of your great love and sacrifice in providing for us freedom from sin, freedom from death, and eternal life. We keep the Sabbath out of gratefulness and love for what you have done, are doing, and will continue to do for us. I pray that you will continue through your Spirit to correct us, to reprove us, to rid from us every wrong idea, conception, or belief, that we may only live by your word of truth, that your law will become the foundation of our life, that your love in us will be the wellspring of all our actions and words. And through your divine grace, self may be fully crucified, dead, buried, and mortified. Jesus showed us how. And those who followed him also showed us how. It is possible for us to do the same. Thank you for not leaving us in darkness, but revealing to us a better way of life. Help us to study these things for ourselves. Not just accept it because it was told us, but to accept it because we see it in your word. And thank you, Spirit, for giving us the divine grace and strength to follow and become established, settled, firmly planted on the rock Christ Jesus, the present truth. We want your seal that is especially found in keeping your Sabbath holy. We don't want the mark of the beast. Thank you for helping us each step of the way to have your seal and be your children forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So let us not forget to keep the Sabbath holy. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? I see there has been some questions typed into the room. Let me address these first. Let me go up here. What if we can't get clothes washed and it's not possible to have them clean before the Sabbath? I'm not sure of the situation that that would bring about, but I do know that if you do the best that you can in the situation you find yourselves in, that God will accept the best you can do even if it's not to the perfect standard of what he requires. If you're out in the wilderness and you have no way to wash your clothes, God recognizes that if you had the ability to, you would, but because you don't have the ability to wash them, he will accept you in the best that you could have done. So God looks at the heart. He sees what your motive is, and he recognizes the circumstances that you're in at that time. And so he will accept the best that you can do. But it also shows us that if you had the opportunity to wash your clothes on Wednesday or Thursday, knowing that you're going to wear them on the Sabbath, then you could have taken that opportunity to wash them earlier, and thus they would be ready for the Sabbath. Are there any other thoughts or comments?
Elder Rob, I think if that question that you were answering was from Brother John J. McCain, sorry, I think a first part to that was, what if someone is homeless, and how would they address it in that manner as well?
Thank you, dear sister. Yeah, it would still be on that same situation that God recognizes your heart. He recognizes your willingness to follow his will, and that if you had the opportunity, you would indeed have your clothes washed and your body washed as well before the Sabbath came in. But if that's not possible in that situation or that time, God recognizes that, and he will still accept your worship of him, even though it's not to the standard that he requires. So if you do your best in the situation you're in, God accepts that.
We need to tell that to these people in church. I had a family member when my children and I were going through, excuse me, Chrissy, we were actually in a homeless shelter in New York when we had moved there. And my grandmother decided she wanted to invite us to church. So I didn't have any clothes. I didn't have a dress or a skirt or anything. I had the best I was able to give was some slacks and a shirt. And my children had dresses, so I was able to, they were able to have a dress and some stockings on and some nice shoes or whatever. But I didn't have anything because I needed to make sure my children were properly dressed. So I went to meet my grandmother. They're Pentecostal. So we went over to meet her, to their house to meet up with them, to go to church with them. And my grandmother just, "Stop mocking God." I said, "What?" I said, "I don't understand what you're saying, Grandma. I'm not mocking God. What are you talking about? You're not supposed to wear pants in the church." I said, "Grandma, I, for one, I didn't grow up. My parents didn't teach us that. We didn't grow up in that manner. We could go to church with some jeans on and we were fine." And she said, "Well, I didn't teach your father that way." And I said, "Well, we grew up non-denominational." And she said, "Well, you're not supposed to wear pants in the church. You're mocking God." I said, "Grandma, we live in a shelter right now. I don't have anything. And this is the best that I'm able to do. So if this is unacceptable, then I'm going to go home." That was the last time I spoke to her. I haven't spoken to her ever since then. And I can honestly say I still have not forgiven her for that. Not, I'm just going to be honest about it. But it disturbs me and it hurt me because we were going through something where she was able to actually help. And she chose not to. And instead of her helping, she condemned me. And that was it.
Oh, thank you, dear sister, for sharing the testimony. And you're right. It's human nature to run to conclusions and to judge unrighteously. But praise God that He's our judge, you know, not human beings, even though they judge us. God is our ultimate judge, and God knows everything involved in that situation. God looks at the heart. Human nature doesn't. We judge by what prejudices or proudness we may have. God takes in everything. Those that were born in Babylon and had a rough upbringing, God takes all that into account in deciding their fate. Those that were brought up in Jerusalem and had the best upbringing, God also takes that into account, and they will be held more accountable for doing wrong than someone that didn't have the privilege of growing up that way. So God takes everything into account with an individual and their actions and their motives. But a lot of human beings don't give that leeway, and they judge the motives, and that's wrong. Now, I would just encourage you to go ahead and forgive your grandmother in your heart and not continue to harbor ill feelings towards her for misjudging your actions or your appearance on that day. Perhaps she didn't know any better. That's how she was brought up. And thus it gives time for the Spirit to work upon her heart and lead her to recognize her misjudgment and repent for her actions. So allow God to have the battle with her heart. But amen. And praise God for already forgiving her. I also read a comment in the room that we are to avoid sexual relations from Thursday on. And that is my understanding from what God is sharing there. We are to meet with God on the Sabbath. We're to be prepared to meet with God so that we receive the blessings and the benefits of fellowshipping with Him and one another. And part of getting prepared is not just body, it's also mind. What good is it going to do to keep the Sabbath holy if you do things that causes your mind to be dull and tired? How are you possibly going to understand the truth that shared on the Sabbath? How are you possibly going to comprehend and receive the blessings that God wants to give you on the Sabbath if your mind is incapable of understanding because it's dull and cloudy? So part of getting ready to meet with God involved avoiding activities that is going to cause your body and your brain to become tired. It also involved not overeating on the Sabbath so that your body would not be sleepy, and thus you had to take a nap and thus miss the benefits that you could have received by remaining awake. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a nap on the Sabbath. Part of the day is devoted to rest. But if you don't need to take a nap, then that time that you're awake can receive much more blessings than would have been received by being asleep. So again, there's no guilt involved in having to take a nap on the Sabbath. But you miss the blessings that could have been received if you would have remained awake. So part of getting ready to meet with God was avoiding sexual contact with your partner. Thus, your mind was kept rested, awake, and with vitality. And so that's why God instructed the Israelites that they were going to meet with him on the third day. And so the first and the second day, they were to get ready. And part of getting ready was to avoid sex. Now that's something for you to study out, not just to accept it because I presented it. Study it for yourself. Question, if the Sabbath begins Friday evening, wouldn't that mean Wednesday evening would be the last day to engage in any relations? Well, true. That is true. It would be Wednesday evening, not just Thursday. So good point, dear brother. Thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, and true, the great importance of marrying someone who is of the faith and not an unbeliever. Very true.
So the big question, Elder Rob, what if your spouse hasn't gotten to that point just yet? How would the believing spouse handle these newfound revelations?
Excellent question, dear sister. And since it deals with honoring God on the Sabbath and thus avoiding that activity before the Sabbath comes in, if you explain the importance of the Sabbath to the unbelieving spouse, and you show them the reason why you do not want to engage in that marital activity, then they should understand. They're not a very good spouse if they force. There has to be consent, even in a marriage. But it should help them to recognize that you're not avoiding that activity that is lawful in a marriage. You're not avoiding it because you don't love them or you don't want to have that uniting activity in your marriage. But it's because you want to be in the best possible condition, mentally, physically, and spiritually, to meet with God and to keep his Sabbath day holy. And if they're reasonable, they're going to recognize, well, you know, they're not avoiding me because they don't love me or they no longer want to unite. But they're doing so because of their love for God. But again, this is a very personal issue, and it's a very personal decision. So it's something that you need to study for yourselves and see if God is leading you in that same direction.
Praise God that by faith, just by faith, not even knowing all of this information, praise God that, you know, I've just always by just abstained on Sabbath and stuff like that. But the question has arise and it has come up and it has to be discussed. You know, well, this has never happened such and such. And I'm like, well, from just me loving the Lord and just wanting to be my best me for him on that day, I think it's the best thing to abstain. And he's like, okay, but you know, it's good to have these conversations because I think that there's so many things that comes with it, right? Understanding, it's like you said, a personal thing. And there are other parts in the Bible that says like the bed is not defiled if you do things like that. People could argue for that, you know, for that reason and say, well, you know, we're married. You know, that shouldn't be an issue. But I think my love for my Lord is greater than my love for my husband. And I would fight that to the death to say, this is why we cannot. And so it's good to have things that back up that feeling and praise God for taking that stand from an earlier time.
Amen. And praise the Lord, dear sister. You know, if you do something on Friday afternoon, just before the Sabbath comes in, that is going to take away your ability to enjoy or to comprehend or understand or receive the blessings of God on the Sabbath, why would you want to do that? So, that's why there's a preparation day. And here we see in Exodus that there was even an extra day added to that preparation day in order to get ready to meet with our great and marvelous God. Was there any other questions dealing with the presentation of the Sabbath and keeping it holy before we move on to other topics?
Yes, I have a question. I was wanting to know if it's, what if you have someone, they've asked you to go to the store for them on Sabbath and they had a need all the time?
If it was me, I would not go to the store on Sabbath for another individual or even for myself. I would avoid doing that so that I could keep the day holy to God. Now, the individual themselves, if they chose, could go to the store and obtain whatever they thought they needed, or they can deny their needs until after the Sabbath and then you would be able to go to the store for them, or they'd be able to go or have someone else go. So just because someone believes they have a need does not mean it's a necessity. For instance, Esau was out hunting for many days, didn't have anything to eat. And on his way back to camp, there was Jacob with a pot of lentils. Did Esau have a need to eat? Yes, he did. Was it a necessity? No. He wasn't going to die if he passed by that pot of lentils and made it to the camp and then ate. But he decided that his need was a necessity, and he was willing to sell his birthright in order to satisfy his belly. So just because someone says they have a need does not make it a necessity. Now, if someone is dying, well, that obviously is a necessity. I'm going to rush them to the hospital, even though it's on the Sabbath, or going to try and take care of their need that is causing their, you know, to alleviate their dying. But if I don't have the knowledge and wisdom to do that, I'm going to take them to someone who can. That would involve taking them to the hospital or an emergency room or some urgent care facility. So then the subject comes up. What if my tank is on empty? Am I going to go get gas? And that's where preparation comes in. If you're prepared, the Bible says a wise man is prepared for every emergency. So if you recognize that your tank is on empty and there might be a chance that you're going to go driving somewhere on the Sabbath, get gas, fill your tank before the Sabbath comes. So a lot of these are just common sense issues, you know, and we can come up with a lot of, well, what ifs? I don't have any gas. Well, perhaps your neighbor who does have gas will take your friend to the hospital. You know, what if you're out in the wilderness and you don't have a neighbor? Well, we have a great God who knows exactly how to heal and save individuals from deadly afflictions. If you have no way, then that is God's opportunity. Go to Him.
Dr. Rob, I do have a question. Sorry if I cut someone off. In terms of like bathing or showering, I understand, and thank you for going over those things. But I just still had like a pressing thought, and I thought I'd share it. So for a woman, what if they have the issue of the month, and it's, you know, on the Sabbath day, or, you know, how do you handle that? Because would we then be considered Sabbath breaking if we took, you know, if we took a bath on the Sabbath day with that issue happening?
Very good.
Yeah, sorry. I was going to tell you on mute.
A very good question, dear sister. And my own personal opinion, that would be a necessity to have to clean up. That would be something that was unforeseen or something that occurred without your intention. And that would be a necessity to have to deal with. Dirty dishes, you can leave them in the sink. You don't have to wash them. If you have a dishwasher, you don't have to take the food off the dish and put it in the dishwasher, even though you're going to start it after the Sabbath. Leave the dirty dishes in the sink. There's no need, no necessity to wash them so that you can have another meal on the Sabbath. But in the issue of already being clean and then having an emergency occur on the Sabbath, I believe that is a necessity to take care of. Otherwise, the blood is going to contaminate and spread all over the place. It has to be dealt with. Let's say you're going walking on the Sabbath. You've already taken your baths and showers. You're clean for the Sabbath. But on your walk, you happen to stumble and fall in a mud puddle. Okay? Does God require you to remain dirty for the rest of the Sabbath just because you're not supposed to take a bath or shower on the hours of the Sabbath? I would say no, because that's a necessity to get the mud off of you and not track the mud, you know, wherever you go and sit and everything else. So you're to be prepared before the Sabbath comes in. And if an emergency or an unforeseen situation occurs on the Sabbath, then you're to deal with it. If it's necessary for you to wash to get rid of the filth or the dirt or the contamination, then do so. God recognizes your heart. He recognizes your intentions. He recognizes that this is an unforeseen issue, and He will not attribute to you the breaking of the Sabbath in dealing with that. But the key word here is necessity. Some people are so fixated on cleanliness that if there's a dirty dish, their fixation will remain on the dish until it's clean. They need to overcome that area that they consider a necessity. There's others that are so conscious of how their armpits smell, and they believe that it's a necessity for them to take a bath and a shower on the Sabbath to remove the odor from their armpits. Is that really a necessity? Isn't there some other way that that odor can be taken care of without needing to take a full bath or a shower on the Sabbath? So the key word is necessity. What is actually a necessity that requires you to do something on the Sabbath that you would not normally do? And again, dear ones, you have to go to God and you have to ask Him, is this really a necessity? Is it going to hurt to leave the dishes in the sink until after the Sabbath is over? Is it going to hurt if you see a dust bunny on the floor, leaving it there until after the Sabbath before you pick it up? You know, we don't want to become fanatical, but we also need to recognize what is a necessity versus what is a need that we think should be taken care of. Yeah. The armpit issue will require social distancing. There are antiperspirants that do not have aluminum in them, that are completely natural and will mask the odor. So you do not need to take a shower in order to avoid the armpit smell. You can obtain a natural deodorant that will mask that smell. You do not have to break the Sabbath by taking a bath on the Sabbath.
It's very clear in Isaiah 66, 22 and 23 that We will worship God every Sabbath day, and then from new moon to another. So there is a monthly service every new moon. In the Philippines, we have a lot of Adventists now who leave the church because they are members of the new moon church. Why don't we keep the new moon here in the present world? This is a monthly religious service, right?
Thank you for your question, dear brother. And the new moon, as well as the Feast of Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles and the Passover, etc., was part of the rituals and feasts that were given to the Jews. Now, God had given the seventh-day Sabbath at creation, so it was not part of the ritual feast services of the Jews. But in some of these feasts, they did have what was called Sabbaths, but it was not on the same importance as the seventh-day Sabbath. So the feasts and the holy services that were given to the Jews passed away when Christ died on the cross. And you are correct that in Isaiah 66 that we read, that on the new earth, God will still have the seventh-day Sabbath for his people to observe, as well as the new moon. So every new moon, God's people will gather together to worship him, and on every seventh day Sabbath, we will gather together to worship him. That's on the new earth, not on this corrupt earth. So the feast days, including the new moons, were ceremonies that were given to the Jews in the Old Covenant dispensation. We're now in the New Covenant dispensation. And God on the new earth will have us keeping a new moon ceremony and the seventh day Sabbath as well. So at the moment, we're not on the new earth. We're still here in this wicked world. And as part of the new covenant dispensation, there is to be no feast days kept, including the new moon. We're in the antitypical Day of Atonement. And during the Day of Atonement, there was no new moon ceremony. There was no Passover feast. There was no Pentecost. There was no tabernacles. There was no Feast of Weeks. There was nothing else to be kept except the Day of Atonement. We're in the antitypical Day of Atonement. So there is no new moon to be kept. There is no Passover to be kept. There is no tabernacles or Pentecost. We're in the antitypical Day of Atonement. But on the new earth, then God will reestablish the Feast of the New Moons, or not feast actually, the gathering together on the new moon and every seventh day Sabbath.
Yes, they're insisting. Because, you know, in the new heaven and new earth, there will be a new moon, there will be a monthly. So I think, Pastor, there is no such scene if we will keep on, you know, having a new moon service here in this earth, in this new world. I mentioned that in the Great Controversy, the antitypical Day of Atonement. But, you know, they insist, no, we have to keep it now. Because in the new heaven and new earth, there would be a monthly services. If you would like to be sent in heaven, you must first be sent to this earth. I don't argue with that. I respect that. Even though we know that these are ceremonial law, it's not binding during the Christian dispensation, and we are now in the typical Day of Atonement. So they keep the Sabbath. They keep also the new morning. I'm not dogmatic about that, but I respect their, you know, their sincerity of purpose that they are keeping the new moon or in the monthly Sabbath. But it is wrong for them, right? As far as the Great Controversy is very clear, we are now in the antitypical atonement. Do you think they are sinning by keeping the new moon now?
They don't know how God is going to require his people to keep the new moon on the new earth. So in trying to keep the new moon on the earth today, it's going to be so different than what God would require them to keep on the new earth. And so then the tendency is to go back to the Old Testament and see how the new moon festival was kept by ancient Israel and to copy that pattern. And in doing that, they are trying to keep a feast during the antitypical Day of Atonement. Thus, their attention is not upon what's taking place in the heavenly sanctuary above, but it's focused on the new moon and the festival surrounding it. So they are actually detracting away from what Christ is doing in the most holy place and focusing on something else that is to occur on the new earth. So their attention is not focused on Christ. It's focused elsewhere. And thus they are not pleasing God by keeping the new moon feast today. They are displeasing God. So that is how I would answer that. There's no way for them to know how God would have them keep the new moon festival, or not festival, but the new moon gathering on the new earth today. God has not revealed how he's going to require individuals to keep it. The feast of the new moons has been set aside by Christ's death on the cross. It's not to be kept today. So they are doing something that God does not require. There was, before I get, first of all, is there any other questions dealing with the Sabbath and how to keep it holy?
Elder Rob, we missed a question up top. I posted it back at the bottom of the room in regards to answering a phone call during worship time. And then I know that Brother Joe had a question that is pending.
Yeah, I want to get to Brother Joe's question, but the Sabbath issue comes first. So thank you.
I have a question too when you're done.
Okay, no problem. So what about answering the phone during worship time? Well, I would imagine it depends on who's calling, and some don't know who's calling. We have an answering service here. Answering machine. And so when someone calls, it goes to the answering machine. We don't pick it up unless we recognize the number. Now, I don't answer the phone during church service because the attention is to be focused on the service, not to be focused on what question or communication someone has. Outside of the church service. But I don't speak for everyone. Me personally, I would rather let whoever calls on the Sabbath go to an answering machine so that I can call them back after the worship service is over if it's important, or wait until after sundown if it's not important. And, you know, the only way you're going to know if it's important enough to call them back is if they leave a message. If they don't leave a message, we have their number to call back after the Sabbath. Is there a sin in answering the phone? I don't see that there's a sin. If the phone you answer is a telemarketer, the only sin that would be involved if you engage them in telemarketing purposes. Then your thoughts would not be on the Sabbath. They would be focused on whatever they're trying to sell you, and that would be a sin. But if you answer the phone and it's a telemarketer, you say, I'm sorry, I can't talk with you now. It's the Sabbath. I'm going to keep it. Goodbye. So be very, you know, courteous. If it's a computer-generated message, you can just hang up because they're not going to, they're not going to, pay attention to what you say anyways. Thank you for coming, dear brother. Looking forward to fellowshipping with you next Sabbath, and may God bless you with his spirit and truth. But me personally, I would just rather let whatever call comes in go to the answering service. And if it's my mom or you know, or a relative, or, you know, my children or someone, I'll pick it up and talk to them as long as it's not on the, you know, during the church service, and then keep the conversation on the Sabbath topics. Brother Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a little girl that I watch, and her mother has an addiction problems and stuff. And she usually comes on the Sabbath evening, just before Sabbath starts. But I know that if I don't take the child, it might keep her mother from going out and doing that and indulging in her whatever drugs of choice and stuff she does. And then but I keep her over through the Sabbath and then drop her off at her mom's house. And I'm wondering, would that be bad? Because I know she's a Christian and she won't go out if she doesn't, if I don't have her child. But if I do have her child, then her child gets to enjoy the Sabbath with me and learn of God. So I'm kind of tossed up by taking the child as kind of giving her permission to go out on the Sabbath. So I'm not really sure how to consider that.
Understand, dear brother. How old is the child?
4 years old. 5 years old, sorry.
In that situation, I would, if it was me, I would go ahead and watch the child, on Friday and keep it over through the Sabbath. So at least the child is introduced into the truth and Jesus. Even though that means that the mother may decide to go out and do her drugs. So that's sort of the best answer to that unfortunate situation I can come up with at this moment. If the child is with its mom and the mom's not doing drugs, the child is not being introduced into any kind of religious issue. But if the child is with you, especially in these early formative years, it will at least have, or she will at least have the chance to be introduced to Jesus and the truths of the Bible, even though the mother may take that opportunity to continue in her addiction. Yeah, but definitely pray that, you know, the mother will decide that that type of life is not the best atmosphere for her daughter or for her salvation, and will decide to turn to Jesus and find deliverance. But perhaps also ask the mother when she brings over her daughter if she would like to stay and listen to the church service on Friday evenings. That would give the mother an opportunity to be introduced along with her daughter to the issue of salvation. So pray about it, dear brother, but I think the best case in that.
Yeah, I do get to witness to her.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I think the best case is to at least introduce the daughter into the truth of Jesus and his word. And then the daughter can be the witness to her mother if God works it out that way.
Yeah, I've witnessed to her mother, and she's gotten copies of my book, and I've got her on to Ellen White readings and stuff like that. She knows the truth. She knows the Sabbath. She's struggling with that right now. And she totally supports her daughter being with me on the Sabbath and what the Sabbath is, and then but still falls herself without her daughter around. So I agree too. I thought that keeping the daughter and letting her learn of Jesus is more important than to hold her mom in hostage in her house to her addictions.
Amen. And praise the Lord that the truth's been recognized, at least by the mother. And she knows what a better life should be. And now it's just her wrestling with the truth of that and deciding whether to follow the truth or not. But we'll definitely keep her in prayer and also keep her daughter in prayer that she will fall in love with Jesus and his message of truth, and then be a great influence upon her mother to also follow the Savior.
Yeah, you can definitely tell the character of the child from the day she, or the hour she shows up to the hour she leaves. One's defiant, and then by the time she leaves, she's hugging and being sweet.
Well, praise the Lord that you're there to help, dear brother. Are there any other questions or thoughts on the Sabbath before we get into another issue? Please go right ahead.
Elder Rob, I'll place another question. Brother Gerson had left the room, but I think the second half of the question can still be answered for those that are here and may be interested in it. In regards to money that is made from stocks, what if it should be donated? On the money that's made from the stocks on the Sabbath day, if it should be donated.
Thank you, dear sister. Yeah, I didn't see that question. And thank you for keeping me alerted on this, you and Sister Michelle and others. I guess the only way to determine how much money has been generated from the stock over the Sabbath is to take however many Sabbaths there are in a quarter when they get their stock earnings, or a year, depending on what the contract they have, to divide it by the amount of Sabbaths that are therein, and then donate that particular amount of money to the Lord. I had not considered that particular issue, and that seems reasonable. You can become, you know, like the Jews, they would strain at a gnat, you know, and tithe mint and rue, even if it was just one stock, you know. But it would be best that if you know that the company you own stock in is breaking the Sabbath, to get rid of that stock, to sell it. Because otherwise you would be getting dividends and giving to God a portion of those dividends, so that the Sabbath would not have any kind of financial gain over, but yet you still own stock in a company that's breaking the Sabbath. So it would be best to get rid of the stock than it would be to continue to own it and thus be a part owner of a Sabbath breaking company. Now, if it's stock that you own in a company or a business that is not working over the Sabbath, then you wouldn't have to donate any money on the Sabbath throughout the month, because the earnings are not made on the Sabbath. Now, that's how I would look at that, at least at the moment. Perhaps those that own stock would look at it a little differently and just be on the safe side. Figure out how many Sabbaths are in a month or a quarter or a year, depending on when they get their dividends, and then, you know, dividing up the Sabbaths and donating that money to the Lord. That would be on the extreme safe side in that. But yeah, that's true. Stocks are gambling. You're gambling that the company is going to make a profit so that you'll get a greater dividend, etc. Whereas the company can fold and you lose everything. And true, it is better to invest in the bank of heaven. But that is a personal decision with those who own stock, and they need to take that to God and study that issue out and see how God is leading them. God's leadership never fails. It's only we who fail. And God's word never fails. It's only our failure to follow his word that's at fault. So those who own stock, study it out, dig into the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, and pray to God, asking him how you would, or he would have you do with that issue.
I was thinking about the story of David and Saul that we studied last night, and how David had gotten himself into such a mess that no matter which way he turned, he was in a mess. He couldn't find his way out without making another mess, and how the angels in heaven went to the people that were, some of them were, would be instrumental in making a mess. Anyway, the gist of the story was that the angels worked to help David get out of his mess. And that included his guardian angel. And I'm thinking sometimes we find ourselves in a big mess that no matter which way we turn, there's going to be a price to pay. And I'm thinking that God is the same today as yesterday, and so are the angels. And perhaps they can work a miracle like they did with David. And David was able to walk away from a mess in good shape.
Amen. Amen. God looks at the heart. And when God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You have 6 days to work, but the seventh is mine. And the individual decides, well, I want to serve you, Father, but I don't believe that the seventh day is the only day I should worship you. I should worship you every day of the week. So the Sabbath is no more of importance as Sunday is. God looks at their heart and he sees that they're more willing to follow human reasoning than they are a thus saith the Lord. So even though they may have the best of intentions, they are breaking God's command. And thus their heart does not honestly want to follow God. It only wants to follow God to a point, and then they want to follow their own reasoning. That's called being self-deceived. So when we study God's word on any issue, the Sabbath, when we study God's word and we find every text that deals with the Sabbath and how to keep it holy, we're to take what God says as fact, as truth, and allow it to correct our understanding. Are we to worship God every day? Yes. But God has chosen the seventh day to be a special worship day. 6 days were to work, but the seventh were not to work, were to keep it holy to God. So if we allow God to lead us, it's going to correct our understanding. And if we allow God's word to correct our understanding, then when God looks at our heart, he sees one that's willing to change their ways in order to follow the ways of God. Now, David found himself in a situation of his own making. But when he recognized there was no hope but in God to get himself out of that situation, God then worked in his behalf, and David was freed. And David never again allowed himself to go into the hands of his enemies. He remained in the hands of God. Even when he numbered Israel and rested in the fact that there was over a million in his army that could defend himself against all his enemies. And he wasn't trusting in God. God gave him three choices. One was to be given into the hands of his enemies for a period of time. One was to flee from Jerusalem for a period of time. And the other was to allow God to punish in his way. And David said, I'm not going into the hands of my enemies. I've learned my lesson there. I'm going into the hands of God because God is merciful. And of course, the punishment came, but it was not as severe as it could have been. So God looked at his heart. He was willing to do whatever it took to follow God's will. Let's have that same heart. And whatever God says, thank you, Lord, I will do. Yeah, true. Quotenerim says, fearful is the power of self-deception on the human mind. Testimonies, Volume 4, page 89. Amen. And praise God that he is our deliverer, even from messes that we've gotten ourselves in. He's there to deliver us if we look to him. Are there any other thoughts or comments dealing with the Sabbath?
Yeah, I just had one. I got a home-based business, and I was getting texts, and I was taking it upon myself just to answer the people that I would make a deal that was after the Sabbath. And it started bothering me a lot and getting to me. And my business was suffering, actually, in the end. I was not getting hardly any business. And when I finally bit the bullet and quit answering these calls and quit responding, that my business was twice as much through the rest of the week, as well as my heart wasn't broken because I knew I was doing it wrong. So it uplifted me spiritually and brought me closer to God just by rejecting to respond to these calls.
Well, praise the Lord, dear brother. Wonderful testimony. And that shows God's ability to bless when you put him first in your life, including in your financial affairs. So amen. And praise the Lord, dear brother, for following God. Any other Sabbath questions, dear ones? Or testimonies, please feel free.
I have a story of a young man who did not give in to something that was against his beliefs. And it happened in a dental office. When the dentist asked this young man to go out and get hamburgers for lunch, and this young man said, eating meat is not good for you. I cannot do that. And he didn't. And the dentist did not get angry about that. In fact, he said, I commend him for standing up for what he believes. And I never forgot that illustration. Do not be afraid to stand up and practice what you believe.
Amen. And if we follow a crowd to do evil, we're not going to make any kind of headway up that straight, narrow path. It takes determination to go against the crowd. It takes courage from above to stand for your faith in Christ Jesus. So, amen. Any other thoughts or comments, dear ones, on the Sabbath issue?
How about an S-O-N-G? Blessed hour when mortal man retires to hold communion with his God, to send to heaven his warm desires, and listen to the sacred word.
Amen. Well, there is a question that dealt with how long is the time of trouble after probation closes until Christ comes? And thank you, dear brother, for your patience in waiting. There's individuals who believe that they have discovered exactly how many days or weeks or months, even years, that the plagues fall between the close of probation until Christ comes, the time of Jacob's trouble. But what we have seen in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy, the timing between the close of probation until the sign of the Son of Man in the clouds of the air is rendered soon, not a specific time. We've seen where Christ declares, he that is righteous will be righteous still, he that is filthy will be filthy still, which, of course, is the close of probation and the beginning of Jacob's time of trouble. And then he says, behold, I come quickly. So the understanding of the word soon and quickly does not correlate to years. So the reapplication of the 1290 days or the 1260 days or the 1335 days or the 2300 days, those do not fit with the words soon or quickly. So is it going to be 5 days? Is it going to be 7 days? Is it going to be 2 weeks? Is it going to be a month? All we know is that it was rendered soon and quickly. So I can't tell you exactly how many days or weeks that soon or quickly renders out to. All I know is that it's a time in which God's people are wrestling with him in their concern that every sin has not been confessed and forsaken, and that they are unprepared to meet Christ when he comes. So how long do the plagues fall upon the wicked? It's rendered soon and quickly, so not very long. I mean, their probation's already closed. Their ultimate punishment is the lake of fire. So why would the plagues last for 3.5 years? They're not going to repent. I mean, it's part of their just reward for rejecting God, but they're receiving the lake of fire in the end. You know, some of the most wicked that have led a lot of people away from Christ and salvation, they're going to suffer all 7 of the plagues, including especially the ministers that have been influential in leading multitudes of people away from Christ and the truths of the Sabbath and salvation. They're going to receive all of the plagues and perish in the lake of fire. So all I can tell you is it's not a very long amount of time before Christ is seen coming in the clouds. Yeah, I've heard 7 years and, you know, the 2300 days reapplied and all that business, but that doesn't harmonize with the Bible or the spirit of prophecy.
Good, 7 years was kind of freaking me out.
Yeah, again, what would be the purpose? Why have 7 years of plagues, you know, when they're still going to suffer in the lake of fire? It didn't make any sense.
Yeah, I can see us running for a season because we have to run, not go into our house to get our stuff. But for 7 years to go on and going through a winter and a summer and a winter and a summer out there, to me, that didn't make a lot of sense.
True, true. And it doesn't make a lot of sense that God's people would have to suffer, you know, the 144,000 have to suffer for 7 years or even a year. I personally don't believe that they're going to go through the time of Jacob's trouble for a month. I think it's less than that. I can't give you a thus saith the Lord other than the words soon and quickly. But I think it's less than a month, because that would accomplish the testing that God requires the 144,000 to go through, to prove that they're not going to commit sin, even though there is no intercessor to forgive them. They remain faithful. The testing of Adam and Eve with the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that was not going to be forever situation with them. It was only going to be a period of time until they proved themselves faithful to resist.
Yeah, I try to reflect on the Jacob's time of trouble where he wrestled through the night and through the day.
Amen. Amen. That's a good analogy to look to. Now, to Jacob, it appeared to be forever, because he was putting forth every bit of his strength to wrestle with this unidentified assailant. And so every hour that he was exerting every bit of strength that he had was like eternity. And it was through the night, you know, so it was eternity added on to eternity, even though it was just 7 hours or 12 hours, you know, depending on when it began. But
yeah, I can wrestle with my daughter for 10 minutes and I've had enough.
So it's going to seem like eternity, even though it's a very short time. So it's a good way to look at it, dear brother.
Thank you.
Any other thoughts or comments or questions, testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to share? Please go right ahead.
I wanted to go back about asking the question on, I hope this doesn't sound like a silly question or not, but having to be clean on the Sabbath. I know to take a bath Sabbath Friday night, but what about in the morning being refreshed?
Well, thank you, dear sister. And the whole purpose of you taking a bath on Friday before the Sabbath comes in is to be clean when the Sabbath occurs. And the necessity or the need to take a bath in the morning is not what God requires on the Sabbath. That's why you're to wash your clothes and take a bath on Friday, so that when the Sabbath comes, you don't need to do that. If God wanted you to take a bath every day, including the Sabbath, it would be stated so in His Word. But God says, in preparation for the Sabbath, you take a bath or a shower, you become physically clean, including your clothes, before the Sabbath comes in. So when the Sabbath comes in, God doesn't require you to take a bath or a shower to be clean, because you've already done that. God doesn't require you to rewash your clothes so they can be clean, because you've already done that on Friday. God didn't bring the manna down on Sabbath. He brought it down on Friday. So God doesn't want us to take a bath or a shower or gather our food on the Sabbath. He wants us to have all of that done beforehand so that we can spend the Sabbath not doing the things we want to do, but the things that God would have us do. So taking a bath to become refreshed, that's not a thus saith the Lord. That is a thus saith ourselves. We think that we need to take a bath to become refreshed. So we're actually putting our own desires ahead of what God says. So, dear sister, I would say take this situation to God and study it out and see if you can find a thus saith the Lord that says it's okay to take a shower or a bath on the Sabbath so that you can be refreshed. Yeah, what if you fall in a big pile of mud on the Sabbath? Well, as we already shared, that would be a necessity for you to take a bath or a shower to wash all of that mud off so that you don't track that mud throughout the house and on the couch that you sit on or the chair or whatever. But if you have a habit of falling into a mud pool on the Sabbath, then I would suggest not walking by any kind of mud pools on the Sabbath. So then there wouldn't be any necessity to take a bath or a shower. You've avoided that emergency, if you will. Are there any other thoughts or comments, a follow-up question, dear Sister Chaka, or anything that you'd like to share?
Okay. This is from Child Guidance, Chapter 78. It's Sabbath, the Day of Delight. And it's pages 528 to paragraph 1 to paragraph 3. Okay, make Friday the preparation day. On Friday, let the preparation for the Sabbath be completed. See that all the clothing is in readiness and that all the cooking is done.
Sister Michelle, I can actually bring that up in the room here. Can you tell me where it's located again?
It's Child Guidance, Chapter 78. The page, it starts on page 528, paragraph 2. Sorry.
All right. Let me get there. So Child Guidance, page 528.
Yes, paragraph 2.
Okay. All right. Let me bring it here in the room. I thought it might be best that everyone can follow along as you read it, and then it will.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. And
okay. Okay, I'll start over, okay? Okay. Make Friday the preparation day. On Friday, let the preparation for the Sabbath be completed. See that all the clothing is in readiness and that all the cooking is done. Let the boots be blacked and the baths be taken. It is possible to do this. If you make it a rule, you can do it. The Sabbath is not to be given to the repairing of garments, to the cooking of food, to pleasure seeking, or to any other worldly employment. Before the setting of the sun, let all secular work be laid aside, and all secular papers be put out of sight. Parents, explain your work and its purpose to your children, and let them share in your preparation to keep the Sabbath according to the commandments. In many families, on Sabbath, boots and shoes are blacked and brushed, and stitches are taken, all because these little odds and ends were not done on Friday. They did not remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Thank you, dear sister, for sharing that. And again, that was Child Guidance, page 528. Yeah, there's a lot of good counsel and instruction in that book. And most every Monday, beginning at 6 p.m. Pacific or 9 p.m. Eastern, child guidance is being gone through in the women's meeting. So if you can, please plan to attend.
Thank you very much, Sister Michelle. Thank you very much.
I would like to share an excerpt from Our Father Cares. This is a reading from March 2nd, but this is worthy of read. There is another work that should receive attention on the preparation day. On this day, all differences between brethren, whether in the family or in the church, should be put away. Let all bitterness and wrath and malice be expelled from the soul. In a humble spirit, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. That would be part of being spiritually clean before the Sabbath comes in. And not speaking our own words. So very true. And thank you for sharing that.
Rose wants to sing a song. And here it is. I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of his love in the book he has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Amen. And again, thank you, dear Sister Yi Yi, for sharing that portion, because that was something that I didn't address in the sermon, but that is a very important point, that any dissension or bitterness that you have with another needs to be addressed and taken care of before the Sabbath comes in, that you may indeed keep the Sabbath holy. So again, thank you for sharing that important point. I have that song. Let me pull it up here.
The Rob, while you're pulling that up, I just want to go ahead and say how I am grateful for this past studies that we've been having on the Sabbath. I think a while ago I had asked a question: how come in the church they don't teach a certain way so that people could understand and know for themselves? They just teach like a watered down version of something and say like, take it, and this is what it is. Don't question it. This is what it is. But these sermons these past couple of weeks have been such a blessing, a refreshment right? Because you think you know, but you don't know, because there are so many aspects of spiritually, so many aspects of physically, so many aspects of thing. And praise God that they are merited by scripture. You can find them in the Bible and spirit of prophecy. And I don't know, I just have a rejoicing in my heart for these last couple of things because it is my greatest desire to do what is right in every step of the way. And this to me has given me that fulfillment and not only just taking it, but being able to go and search it out after myself to say it is here and I must follow it. So praise God for such a wonderful study.
Amen. Praise God indeed. And you're right there, sister. There's a lot of sermons on keeping the Sabbath. You know, that Saturday is the seventh day of the week and we're to keep it holy to God, but there's very few on how to keep it holy. I wish there was a lot more, because there'd be a lot more glory going to God and a lot more benefit received by worshiping God on the Sabbath as he requires and keeping it holy and sanctified. So amen. Praise God indeed. And keep searching. The sermon that was presented these past 3 weeks is not exhaustive by any means. There's still more out there. And our dear sister Yi Yi revealed some more that was not addressed. There's other areas as well that God can open your mind and understanding to in receiving the greatest blessing possible by keeping his Sabbath holy. And the request for the hymn Jesus Saves. And would you like to start us out, dear sister?
I can try. I don't really know the thing, but I will try. We have heard the joyful sound.
Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves.
There are the news
to every land. Climb the mountains, cross the waves, onward
from Lord's command.
Jesus saves.
That was a nice duet. A little bit of lag in it. Wafted on the rolling tide, Jesus saves. Hail to sinners far and wide, Jesus saves. Sing, you islands of the sea, echo back, you ocean caves. Earth shall have her jubilee. Jesus saves.
Sing above the battlefield. Jesus saves. By his death an endless life. Jesus saves. Shout it brightly through the gloom, when the heart for mercy craves. Sing it triumph all the time. Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus said, Jesus said, shall salvation full and free, highest hills and deepest cave, this a song of victory. Jesus said, Jesus said. Hallelujah.
Are there any other songs, requests, testimonies, questions, comments? Please feel free, dear ones.
One more song, a request, Sister Rose. I need the prayers of those I love.
Sister John, are you going to sing it?
Okay. I will. My sister Gina behind me is like a cord. She keep poking me. Okay. Okay.
See, Elder Rob and everyone, I still have family poking me.
Even spiritually. Okay. How could it go?
I need the prayers of those I love while traveling old life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempter so long, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love to help me in his trying town, to bear my tempter soul to him, that he may keep me by his power. I want my friends to pray for me. Please do, dear ones. To bear my tempest so love. And intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on wings of faith, that I may walk the narrow way, get my Father's glorious grace. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempter so loved, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love. I need the praise of those I love. Amen. Thank you, Daddy.
Amen. Let us indeed pray for one another. Are there any last thoughts that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free. It's been a wonderful Sabbath fellowship. Thank you so much for your participation and your brother and sistership. Looking forward to the next time we gather. Until then, keep looking up.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up.